You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Pete Papaheraklis, a reporter for American Free Press and the paper's outreach director. Pete, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Dave. How you doing? Nice All to right. be on the show.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, Pete, this is your show, and this is the inaugural show here for for you to talk about whatever you want to talk about. So the format's going to be basically you spend a lot of time examining the news on the internet and other sources, and so you pretty much have a firm idea what's going on in the world. And there are certain issues, I guess, that stick in your mind more than others. So this week, the week of November 18th, or even last week, or even the month of November so far, what are some of the things that caught your eye? What are some of the things that you found particularly interesting or disturbing?
Well, let's see. We had the elections. That was probably the biggest thing going on. We had this Benghazi scandal. That's been pretty interesting. Now, of course, we have the Gaza war. I don't know if it's called a war. Basically, the Israelis bombing the heck out of the Palestinians. I guess they killed their leader and then instigated this situation. I haven't kept up with it too closely, but it seems like something the Israelis do every 4 years or so.
Right, there's an election, I guess.
Yeah, there's an election, right? When exactly is the election?
I think it's next month.
Yeah, somebody was asking me a question whether how I thought this would affect the election, and I haven't really looked into it that much. I just don't know. Did you have any thoughts about it? Have you followed it?
Well, I know that over the course of modern history that these type of actions tend to increase the popularity of the quote-unquote leader at the time. So, yeah, unfortunately, you kill a couple of children, a couple of innocents, and the morons then vote for the leader to continue whatever they're doing, which includes, mm-hmm. of course, massacring innocents. So, yeah, unfortunately, that seems to be a good formula.
So being that the Likud party is the more militant party, then they would tend to stay in power, being that the war situation is going on.
Right, that's a safe bet.
I see. Yeah, I think the other thing was that, the guy that they killed, I forget his name, was Jabari, something like that.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, well, he was supposed to sign some type of a peace deal that Egypt was brokering, and he was in charge of the military forces in Gaza. And he got this peace agreement in the morning, and then they killed him that same day. So this would have kept things more peaceful, and he was the main guy to keep the peace, from what I understood. And I guess the Mossad went and assassinated him that day. So it almost showed that they didn't really want peace.
Yeah.
Because that's what this guy was getting ready to do, sign a peace agreement. And it kind of reminds you of when they had who was that? Was that Yitzhak Rabin? Was that the guy that they killed, that he had signed the peace treaty with, or was about to, with Arafat?
Right.
And although he was Israeli, they killed him too. And then what, even Sadat, way back then, the Egyptian guy. So anybody that signs peace treaties, it seems like they get it.
Yeah, they meet a quick end. Yeah, it seems like they set this fella up from Hamas. He let his guard down, so he was probably driving around in his car thinking that, okay, we're going to be putting together a peace deal, so it's safe for me to come out and drive around. And guess not, double-crossed again by the master double-crossers of the world, the Israelis.
Mm-hmm. I guess the last I heard, there was like over 1,000 Gazans already, Palestinians killed. Have you heard any statistics?
Yeah, I heard not 1,000, but I may be wrong, but I heard 100. Yesterday there was 100, and out of that, I think about 40% of that number, so about 40 were women and children. So they're really good at killing women and children, I noticed.
Yeah, I'd like to look at that. It seemed like an inflated number, but the person that told me seemed like they knew what they were talking about. It seemed like a lot of people to kill in like 3 days, though, right?
Well, they're all crammed together, so really they wouldn't have much problem killing that many people, I think,
mm-hmm.
especially with the U.S. weaponry they get from the taxpayers pretty much for free. So we're subsidizing the death and destruction of innocent people. I take that back, not we. The quote-unquote leaders of this country now are subsidizing the death and destruction of innocent people there in that little open-air concentration camp of what's called Gaza. So, yeah, it's unfortunate. I'm going to check while you're talking about how many people might...
Yeah, so it's like shooting fish in a barrel, basically. These
exactly.
guys can't go anywhere.
That's
and every
exactly
once in
right.
a while, right, the Israelis just... Maybe they just wanted to test this Iron Dome missile protection system that we bought for them. What, another $1 billion on top of the other billions
exactly.
that they get?
Yeah, they deserve it. Yeah, they deserve it. Because they're the only democracy in the Middle East. Yeah, here it is. It says, and this is from Reuters, which turns out to be one of the most reliable sources. Reuters, this is today, and this update was 9:48 Eastern Time, so not too long ago. Some 120 Palestinians, more than half of them civilians, have died in the offensive. So.
Okay, yeah, that makes more sense. I have to correct the person that gave me an inflated figure.
But the good news is there's supposedly a truce. So let's get out of the Middle East. Where are we going next?
Well, how about if we go over to Northern Africa there with the Benghazi scandal? Have you been keeping up how that's been developing?
I have.
Well, what I wanted to say about that is, you know, I had been looking into that right before the elections, actually, and it seemed like it was totally misrepresented to us. It was represented that there was big demonstration outside the embassy on account of that video that was made, the anti-Islam, anti-Mohammed video. And it turns out that that wasn't the case, and that the White House knew that that wasn't the case, and there was no demonstration at all. It was just 20 people that went and attacked the embassy with rocket launchers and grenades and what have you, and killed 4 Americans, Stevens and I guess 3 other Marines. Where were they? And it seems like the White House and the Pentagon had every reason to know that something like that was going to take place, especially on September 11th. Had plenty of warnings, and they did nothing to stop it. They did nothing to beef up security. As a matter of fact, they withdrew some of the security that they already had, which is very suspect, and had this guy go in there on September 11th. And the interesting thing was, to me, that Susan Rice, I guess, went on several TV programs the next several days and said that there was a big demonstration outside and that they were protesting this movie, when in essence, when the Stevens and those guys were inside getting bombed and attacked, they sent several emails to the White House and to the CIA, FBI, a lot of different agencies, saying that we're under attack by 20 people, and they never mentioned a thing about any demonstration. And the White House knew this. And also, they had these drones. This is the creepiest thing. They had these drones, camera-equipped drones, that were filming this from the outside and sending it straight to the Situation Room at the White House. So it was obvious. I mean, they knew they were watching this. So they knew that there was no demonstration. So why did Susan Rice and Obama, I believe, go around saying that there was a demonstration? So to me, something fishy is going on there. It's almost like they set Stevens up for some reason, or they knew what was going to happen, most likely, and set him up. So I was hoping that the scandal would sort of break out before the elections, but it didn't, and I don't know how it's evolving.
It's amazing how these people, once they're in power, they'll just sacrifice lives. They just don't seem to care about a life. But when you have a baby, when most people have a baby and all they want to do is protect the baby from even the teeniest of scratches, it seems that somehow they lose their mind when power is introduced. All right, Benghazi, that's kind of another area that they might never get to the bottom of, or even if they do, the lethargic American public will probably not pay much attention to it. Let's get out of Libya. Where are we going next?
Well, how about the elections? Did you want to talk about the elections a little bit? A lot of people have said that there was vote fraud involved. There was even a petition I was looking at last week, and there was over 50,000 people. There was something like 55,000 people when I was looking at this about a week ago that had signed a petition for a recount of the votes. And the main reason that they were citing, although I've looked into this, there was a lot of suspicious activity, but the one main thing that they cite is this one county in Ohio, I think it's called Cook County, to where there was only 98,000 or so registered voters, whereas they had 106,000 votes for Obama. Not only did Romney not get any, but Obama got like 8,000 more votes than there were registered voters.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, but really, look, number one, does it really matter who's in there as far as who has a chance of getting in there? Number two, do you have any faith in the electoral process here in the United States?
No, not really. Not really. President Carter had come out publicly a month or two ago condemning the election, saying that the United States has the worst, one of the worst or the worst election system in the world. Must have been one of the worst. Yeah, and the reason he said is because he was blaming the Supreme Court for having passed a law that enabled corporate interests to give unlimited campaign contributions to the candidates. And I think Obama probably reached $1 billion in campaign contributions, and Romney was maybe 800,000 or 900,000.
How much of that billion did you contribute?
Well, I didn't contribute any, but I mean, it's amazing. I mean, how can anybody, okay, we had people like Merlin Miller, who had speak over here and who I'm sure you're familiar with. So the guy Gary Johnson seemed like a good guy. Most of the independents were better than either one of the candidates, but how can they compete? How can they compete? What, Miller, it's doubtful if he had $5,000 to spend on this campaign. How do you compete with $1 billion?
Not even how do you compete with $1 billion, but how do you compete with the intellect of the American voting public?
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. I think Merlin Miller was able to give his message to where, I don't know, at least any thinking American understood that he made a lot of sense. I don't know what percentage the thinking Americans are. Probably not as high as we would like them to be.
Go ahead. Why don't you hazard a guess?
I don't know, 5%?
Come on, Pete.
You know, because Merlin Miller is not too radical. You know, he won't really say some more things that you and I could probably say. So, you know, he's saying common sense kind of stuff. We don't need any more wars. You've heard his presentation. So it's not anything that he doesn't talk about 9/11 or talk about stuff that people might find really shocking and controversial. Howard Stern was asking these people in, was it in Harlem, someplace in New York, and he was asking them who they were going to vote for, and they were all saying Obama. And then he was asking them, like, why? And they had no idea. I mean, they're like, oh, because he said he was going to bring change or something crazy like that. And then he started asking them questions like, does it bother you that Mitt Romney selected a black vice president? And they were like, oh, no, you know, does it bother you that Paul Ryan is black? And they're like, oh, no. And then he says, well, do you think Sarah Palin has a good chance of winning this year? And they're like, well, you know, Sarah Palin, I don't know about Sarah Palin. I don't think so. McCain, he was asking about McCain, and they weren't even aware that McCain's not running this year, right? Yet they were sure that they liked Obama. They didn't quite know why. But
okay, so do you want to change your 5% figure?
5% is too generous, huh?
I think 5% is pretty high, but I was thinking more along the lines of 1% and under.
1% and under.
You know, people. I mean, how much time have you spent trying to bang 9/11 into people's heads?
Yeah, years and years. Yeah. It's amazing how you would think common sense would be a little more successful, but it's not. It's not. It's frustrating. I suppose it comes down to whoever the media wants to promote.
And who is the media?
Well, the Zionist media.
Let's get out of the election because that's a done deal. You got this guy who most definitely is not even a U.S. citizen as the president. He plays way too much golf and he's aligned too much with socialists and communists, which doesn't seem to bother the ignorant American electorate. If, in fact, the election was not rigged, as it probably was, where else are we going to go?
I don't know. What else is there? Do you have any suggestions? Anything you want to talk about?
Some fella, he was some government official in Israel. You probably heard about this, but I think he was the interior minister. He said that the goal of the operation in Gaza for the Israelis is to send Gaza back to the Middle Ages. Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't. But I thought Gaza already was in the Middle Ages.
Did you hear about Rupert Murdoch going after the, quote, Jewish-owned press, close quote?
No, I did not.
He slammed the Jewish-owned press. This was from the website Politico.com, and it seems that media mogul Rupert Murdoch on Saturday blasted what he called the Jewish-owned press for their anti-Israel coverage. Now, Murdoch is not a Jew, but he's very pro-Israel for some reason. I can't figure out why people would be pro-Israel, but at any rate...
That doesn't make sense. He said that the Jewish-owned press was anti-Israel?
That's correct.
Uh-huh.
What he did was he actually tweeted this. You've heard about this Twitter nonsensical thing that people waste their time on. Well, anyway, he tweeted this. Murdoch did not elaborate. News Corp has not yet responded to a request for comment. Murdoch, a strong supporter of Israel, earlier on Saturday tweeted his thoughts about the Gaza-Israel conflict, media bias, and President Barack Obama's role in the Middle East. And here's exactly what he said. Middle East ready to boil over any day. Israel position precarious. Meanwhile, watch CNN and AP bias to point of embarrassment. And he sent this on November 17th.
He said Israeli position was precarious?
Yeah.
In what sense?
That's why I laughed. And then he says, can't Obama stop his friends in Egypt yelling Israel?
So he meant that Israel was precarious because of the Gaza attack?
I don't know. Either way you look at it, how is Israel precarious?
Because they're poor little victims in a
right.
hostile territory, and yeah. they're just trying to survive, right?
Yeah, poor little
Jews. Did he mention the 400 nuclear bombs they have?
No, he didn't tweet that.
He didn't mention that, right?
No, he didn't tweet that.
How is he supposed to be criticizing? How does he criticize the Jewish media? Isn't he himself part Jewish?
I don't know for sure.
Right. Yeah, he is. He's at least 50% Gentile, I suppose. But when people look into his background, he's part Jewish. But also, he's 100% controlled or financed by the Rothschilds. So he's not some kind of anti-Semitic or anti-Jewish media. He might want to create that impression, but he's in lockstep with everything that they say. So this is interesting how they play this game, to where they come out pretending like they're on opposite ends of the issues, when really they're all part of the same brainwashing media establishment. You know, it's the same thing that they were doing with the elections, trying to make it look like Obama was maybe like anti-Semitic, whereas Romney was too eager to help start a war or something. And I mean, where's Obama now? I mean, where's his anti-Semitic stance and what's going on with Gaza? I didn't hear him say anything pro-Gaza. You know, all I heard him say is that Israel has the right to defend themselves. I didn't hear him say Gaza had the right to defend themselves. I didn't hear him say that Gaza had the right to retaliate, being that their leader and his son were assassinated. Did you?
No, but everybody knows that Obama's anti-Semitic. Come on.
Right. So now Rupert Murdoch is anti-Semitic too, right?
That's right.
So that's fine. So he's criticizing the Jewish media for not standing up for Israel enough. That's just like surreal.
Yes, sir. I thought you'd be interested in that. Let's see what else we got here. We'll move away from old Rupert Murdoch. I wonder how old he is, actually.
I would say his late 70s.
He's getting up
early
there.
Early 80s.
Yeah, let's see. Close. He was born March 11th, 1931, so he's 81. He's going to be 82. I mean, nowadays, that's kind of young. Yeah, let's get away from old Rup, and we'll go to someone else here. Let's see what else we got here. How about the economy? You know, found something interesting here that was put out by the Washington Post. A new study from the Congressional Budget Office says starts with the scariest graph you'll see today. So what they're showing is inflation-adjusted GDP after recessions. They're showing an average recovery percentage difference from end of recession and then the current recovery, which the percentage difference is a lot lower. It's about half of what it has been historically, if you can believe these statistics, which obviously you can't because they keep changing them and making them more... Oh, true, they keep changing them and making them more amenable to whichever political hack is in office at the time. But this economic recovery has been a big disappointment relative to what the United States has usually experienced after a recession. Growth has been 9%. Below what was seen in past recoveries on average in the first 3 years. Anyway,
I got you totally confused. So what does that mean?
Well,
3% per year?
What that means is that, this will sum it up. So what the CBO study, which is, of course, the Congressional Budget Office, what the CBO study is really saying is that there remains a gigantic cyclical gap in the U.S. economy, and this recovery has been awfully slow. And it has also occurred at a time when our potential economic growth isn't rising as fast as it used to, mainly for reasons unconnected to the unique impact of the financial crisis. So what they're saying is that basically the economy is never going to recover. And that's what a lot of people have been saying, that the population that has just dropped out of the job market ain't never coming back.
How's the economy supposed to recover if the means of production have been totally eliminated?
Exactly. It can't. But
it can't, right? Because he has to collect taxes from like thriving businesses and, you know, a lot of hardworking people and all that. So if half the people are on like food stamps and welfare and all these government programs, they're not really producing anything for the economy. And if we've sent 55,000 factories, 55,000 factories have shut down since 2001, where's the money going to come from in order to push for this recovery? So I've seen comparisons where they compared this recession or depression, really, you know, with the Great Depression. And we had a lot more going for us during the Great Depression as far as the recovery goes. A lot more. Those things no longer exist. I mean, America doesn't have the potential to rebound in the way that it did during that time. So it doesn't really look too good.
No, you wouldn't know it from looking at the stock markets, though, and the commodity markets.
I don't fully understand that. You're good at that. But doesn't that reflect more like global investing? I mean, if it's a company that basically has investments in China and all these places, I mean, it's trading in the stock market. Maybe they're doing good. But what does that say for the American economy? Not much, right?
You wouldn't know that looking at the nightly news, these talking heads. It's incredible how much money these people make and what they get to say. And they really know nothing, let alone Congress really doesn't know anything. It's just the whole system it's beyond repair, I think. It's absolutely broken. Did you hear about the over 100,000 protesters in France rallying against gay marriage and adoption?
Wow, that's good.
Yeah, more than 100,000 people rallied across France on Saturday to protest a government bill that would grant marriage and adoption rights to same-sex couples. Police used tear gas against activists who tried to stage a counter-protest. So there's a government bill that would grant marriage and adoption rights to same-sex couples.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in Toulouse. And there were around 200 would-be counter-protesters. So 70,000 people turned out to protest the bill in Paris, although event organizers put the figure at 200,000. So
mm-hmm.
whatever the number is, there's a lot of people who are fighting against what seems like a global plan to allow anybody to marry. I could go out into my backyard and marry a groundhog if I wanted to, and probably one day have sex with the groundhog, and that would be okay. Look, if the guy wants to, you know, I mean, they are creatures.
Yeah, it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle
right.
choice.
It's a lifestyle issue. No one should be able to stop me from marrying a groundhog.
Yeah, because you should have the right to express your sexual desires. That's a God-given right.
That's right. I'm a man, but really, deep down, I'm a groundhog.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. You know, God makes mistakes, you know. I mean, God's not infallible like some people would think. So just because he made you a male and he gave you male genitalia, for instance, I mean, maybe you're a woman trapped in the man's body. You should have a right to please that woman and correct whatever God screwed up on.
That's absolutely right. And maybe I'm actually a female groundhog.
Right. So I guess maybe in the future, the way they have operations now to make you a woman, if you wanted to, mm-hmm. they could have operations to make you a groundhog.
Well, that's what I'm hoping.
Then you would be to satisfy your lifelong desire of mating with a groundhog.
That's right. That's right. So
it's not your fault that you have those desires.
Absolutely
you
not.
You should be able to do whatever you know is needed in order to give you the equipment to deal with it.
I was born this way. You know, I didn't know it, you know, in the beginning.
It's not your fault. You should always have the right to have a lifestyle choice.
Thank you.
You see?
That's exactly
that's
what I'm thinking.
Isn't it good that we live in times to where that's possible, to where anybody can be anything they want to be? We're not limited anymore by nature.
No, and of course, the interesting thing is once you get around to identifying the individuals and groups who are behind these movements, that's really the interesting part. Okay, let's get away from same-sex marriage and groundhogs, and there's something that I forgot to mention when we were talking about your president, was that in Vermont, did you hear about this? A Vermont judge tossed a natural-born citizen anti-Obama lawsuit out.
Yes, I heard that.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't read up on it, but I saw the headline. What exactly does that mean? That what every president before Obama has conformed to in being a natural-born citizen no longer applies? Is that what this judge is saying?
Well, the judge is saying that the person who filed it, the judge said that this is Judge Robert Bent in a 7-page decision, said that the motion was filed improperly in state court instead of federal court, but it lacked merit anyway. Mr. Page's lawsuit, interesting as it is for its extensive historical analysis, has no viability because he has no standing and the court has no jurisdiction. It is dismissed in its entirety. So again, it was based on the fact that Obama is not a natural-born citizen as required of presidential candidates in the U.S. Constitution, and the person who filed it contended historical papers from the time the Constitution was written define a natural-born citizen as someone who was born of parents or American citizens. Obama's father, now deceased, was a citizen of Kenya. And the judge cited a 2009 decision by an Indiana court that addressed a similar claim and concluded the natural-born citizen challenge to Obama's claim on the presidency lacked merit.
Also dismissed
the request to issue a default ruling against Obama because here his representatives did not file an answer to the lawsuit after it was purportedly received by the White House in September. And the person who filed this request or motion ran for U.S. Senate nomination, Republican, but lost to John McGovern by a 3-1 margin in an August 28th primary. And McGovern lost by a similar margin to Senator Bernie Sanders on Election Day.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, again, this judge decided that it lacked merit and it was filed in the wrong court anyway. So there's another one that gets thrown out.
Yeah, the filed in the wrong court. I guess, you know, they're looking for some kind of a technicality there to throw it out. But the lacked merit part, I don't understand. And the standing and lacking a standing, I don't understand. Ever since Obama became president in 2008 and all these people that sued him for a birth certificate and what have you, he was able to avoid all of them by saying they lacked standing.
Right.
Well, okay, well, what exactly does that mean? That means it doesn't affect this particular person illegally. He's not going to lose anything or something like that. Isn't that what lacking standing means? The thing is, don't we technically really all have standing? I mean, if the president is unqualified and asks us to do stuff that's totally crazy and basically destroys this country, I mean, don't we have standing as Americans? I mean, if I say, look, you know, you don't qualify. As an American citizen, I mean, aren't I affected by somebody that's elected that's unqualified? This natural born citizen. You know, you have, of course, the birth certificate, which we've discussed before, and it seems like people just don't want to know about it. They're just like, it's controversial, nobody knows, can't really tell. Okay. But even the natural born citizen thing, I mean, I find that disturbing, that when you explain to people what a natural born citizen is, they're saying, well, you know, I mean, gee, he's a nice guy. It doesn't matter if his parents were both citizens at the time that he was born. Some people say, well, it doesn't even matter if he was born in America. I mean, even if he's Kenyan and he just came here as an immigrant. Well, you know, if he's competent and he's a nice guy, he should be able to become president. So why did the founding fathers, you know, say that somebody needed to not only be born in America, but also have parents that were citizens? It makes sense to me. As a matter of fact, in ancient Greece, where democracy was started, in order to vote, not only did you have to be born in Athens, but your parents and your grandparents had to be born in Athens. So the idea that you're born in that country and you're assimilated and your beliefs and interests are those of the country or city, you know, that you're representing, that seemed to be pretty clear to them 2,500 years ago, that not only you, but your parents and your grandparents had to be born. And here now, we've already said, well, you know, your parents don't necessarily have to be born here, but they have to at least be citizens at the time that you're born. Because if they're not, maybe they don't like America. If your parents are illegal aliens, for instance, and, you know, they have you here, and let's say they're from Mexico, and they keep calling Americans gringos, or you're brought up eating, like, burritos and stuff all the time, you're basically going to come up thinking along the, you know, interests of Mexico more than the interests of America, because that's how your parents raised you, because they were not American. How come people can't see that? How come people can't see the importance that, at least for the highest office in the land, that your parents have to be Americans that have taken an oath that they will defend America and the Constitution and its interests? So maybe that explains why the president doesn't really care about defending the Constitution, huh?
I don't try to figure out what people think or don't think. I have no idea. I know that they think too little, but I don't know why they think the things they do. I don't know. It's a good question. But here's something a little lighter. How about this? Talk about Thanksgiving coming up and, of course,
yes,
Black Friday. Of course, they call it Black Friday because then retailers will be in the black versus in the red.
I see.
Seems that there's people right now who are camping out in front of retail stores. I mean, literally camping out.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking at a picture here of a Best Buy in Ohio, and there's this jackass who has set up a tent outside of the Best Buy last Thursday.
Oh, my God.
Today is Tuesday. So last Thursday, this jackass set up a tent as close as he could get to the front doors. And then the next day, he was joined by another jackass who set up another tent. His name is Tony Avatar. I don't know if that's his real name, but He's also a father of five. So this moron is reproducing. So more morons. Father of five. He's been camping out in the days leading up to Black Friday for the past 9 years.
Wait a minute now. So where's his family?
Let's try to find out.
So he's abandoned his family for the good of all the family. He's gone there in order to save a few bucks on all the stuff he's going to buy that he probably doesn't need. And he's not even going to be with his family in Thanksgiving so he can save a few bucks, right?
He has camped out for the past 9 years before the busy shopping day, and his family will join him at his tent on Thanksgiving Day for a family meal, which has become a tradition. Here's what old Tony's saying. Here's what this moron is saying. When you have five kids and you have limited income, what you want to be able to do is want to be able to provide for them and get them decent Christmas presents. Though most of his time is spent inside the tent, he does venture into the electronic shop to scope out the options.
So let's see now. Suppose this guy, by being ahead of the pack there, saves what he's got, I don't know, five children or his family. Let's say he spends $1,000 for Christmas presents or something. And being that he's going to be the first shopper in there, he'll save a couple of $100s. And he'll only spend like $800 instead of $1,000. Even if he gets it half price, $500, okay? He's the first shopper to go in there. Well, how about like the 9 days of work that he's missed in order to be camping out there? I mean, how about that?
He worked for the president. He works for Obama.
Oh, he worked for Obama?
Yeah, I think I saw him talking on one of those Obama phones. No, come on, Pete. Seriously. It isn't just him. The article goes on to talk about some other geniuses in California, across the country in El Cajon, California. And this is in front of another Best Buy. A pair of shoppers hoping to nab some steep discounts started a line outside on Thursday. But their hopes were soon dashed. The two ladies, Rhiannon, I never heard of that name before, but it's spelled R-H-I-A-N-N-O-N.
Rhiannon.
I guess it's like a variant of that singer. Maybe I'm
No, Rihanna. No, Rhiannon. I think it's an Irish name, isn't it?
I don't think so. Rhiannon Buckingham and Alicia Gomez were kicked off the property by mall security, who told them to go home and to return on Thanksgiving. Buckingham and Gomez sat in lawn chairs and had packed a full bin of food in preparation for the wait. They said, "You guys can't stay here. You guys look homeless," Buckingham told a TV station about what he was allegedly told by the security guards. "I mean, I may be trailer trash, but I'm not homeless," she quipped. Now, wait a second. It's not over, Pete. There's a photo of him here. It's pretty amazing. One of them's under an umbrella, and the other one is on its cell phone, and they both look to be people of color.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the frosty welcome from security and the jeers from other shoppers, Buckingham insisted that she is only doing what it takes to secure a decent place in line. "I can't do her accent, but I'll just speak in my voice, okay? Last year I came on Tuesday, and I was 17th in line. They only had 15 TVs," she added about the disappointment she experienced. Undeterred, Buckingham has moved to another Best Buy location in La Mesa, where she expects to save more than $2,000 when she purchases four TVs, a Blu-ray player, and some earphones. She arrived on Friday, and soon another eager shopper joined her in line. "I've got nothing else better to do," he told the local news. It's not over. There's another Best Buy. They got bigger tents out there. I'm not going to go on. If you look at the example here of what is populating the country, how could somebody who lives in a trailer, she probably has the formal education of an eighth grader, probably zero ability to reason properly, how could you afford to save $2,000 when she purchases four TVs, a Blu-ray player, and some earphones? How could you afford money to buy these things?
I don't know. That's crazy. To save $2,000, so what? Even if she saved 50%, she's still spending $2,000 more, right?
Right.
How can she have that kind of money to just throw around on Christmas presents? And why does she need four TVs?
Because that's all these morons do, is sit around watching TV.
But how many can you watch at one time? I mean, you only got two pairs of eyes.
Right, but they have them in every room. So they'll move from one room to the next, and they have the same show on each TV. I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know. You want to know what's wrong with America? Look at these morons.
I don't watch TV at all. I have one and I never watch it.
Exactly. Pete, here's the point. They got the time and they got the money to do this. They got the time and the money to camp out in front of a store to buy stuff. What are we doing wrong, Pete?
Yeah, we need some of that Obama money. We need to get some Obama money.
I don't get it. I think probably this is a good place to leave the segment off, don't you think?
Yeah. That's pretty much the pitch right there. People living in trailer parks wanting to save $2,000 on buying TVs and camping out for what, 9 days before? They've been there for...
Yeah, they got there on Thursday, which was the 15th. So for some reason, they picked Thursday the 15th. Today's the 20th. Black Friday is the 23rd. So they're going to be there. Obviously, tomorrow is a week that these geniuses have been there, and then they've got Thanksgiving. They'll obviously be there on Thanksgiving. Morons can get their gadgets and then go back to their trailer or their home and celebrate being a moron for the next year. And then the morons can come out again the following year and camp out for another week.
Wow.
Days.
I always thought it was ridiculous that Christmas shopping starts all the way from Thanksgiving. But now, I mean, they're really, you know, these guys are really pushing it. So I guess in the years to come, they'll probably start, I don't know, maybe Halloween or start Labor Day maybe, you know? They'll start Christmas shopping at Labor Day.
It didn't used to be like that. The way it used to be was that there were clear lines of demarcation in between the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
For example, when it was Halloween. There was no blending of Thanksgiving into Halloween, no blending of Christmas into Halloween. Now, at the same time they bring out the Halloween decorations, they bring out the Christmas decorations.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it probably is going to go back because it's going back further and further. So it might go into, like you said, Labor Day. I don't see why not.
Does that mean that Americans are becoming more religious because they're really putting a bigger emphasis on Christmas, you know, the day that Jesus was born? So they're really, it seems like, you know, they're really willing to make a lot more sacrifices now for Christmas by camping out for 9 days. They must be becoming more religious. They really want to celebrate the birth of Jesus, right?
I think that's what it indicates, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good thing then. Yeah, at least they're becoming more religious. So what would they... When we were kids, I don't know, we got some cookies or something for Christmas or what have you. You know, maybe we went to the movies, went to the park, I don't know. It wasn't about the presents. Or if it was, they weren't like huge presents. Now it's just who's going to get the more presents and how much discount are you going to get on your TV sets, right? It's kind of lost its meaning, it seems.
Not for them. For them, it makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
There's not much to people anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. Their entire day they're spending with their neck crooked down to look at their phone.
Mm-hmm.
Look around. When you're driving or walking around, they're all looking at their phones.
Mm-hmm.
We go to birthday parties for my son, his classmates. Pretty much almost all of the parents are looking at their phones.
I guess they're really like important, I don't know, CEOs or something. They have a lot of things going on, right? They need to stay in touch with their businesses, right?
No. These are just regular people. Doesn't have anything to do with that. This is what they do.
They're just obsessed with just looking at the phone.
Well, they're texting or they're watching videos or whatever. I don't know. My phone isn't a smartphone, so I don't know what these phones do. But I think it's something like that. They do stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow, that's great. I guess society must be getting better and better with people being able to multitask like that, and they must be really productive. They're doing one thing, but then at the same time, they're also communicating on their phone, so. Huh? Yeah. Well, that's what's going to make the economy rebound. People just multitask. You know, they're working, they're doing this and that, but at the same time, they're taking care of business on the phone, so they're doing two things at once.
What do you mean going to make the economy rebound? It already has rebounded.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot. It has rebounded. Yeah, well, these people there, after they're done shopping their TV sets, that's really going to boost the economy.
Hell yeah. Are you kidding me? Of course. I mean,
yeah.
All this great stuff that's from China that is failing constantly. Sure, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're in good shape. The United States is in great shape as a country, as a nation, as the beacon of democracy. The United States is in great shape.
So there you have it. There's something to give thanks for in this upcoming Thanksgiving.
That there's still a lot of idiots out there who have not shop. Right? Because shoppers are what keeps the U.S. economy going.
Mm-hmm.
That is a fact that that's what does it.
But this girl said she was going to save $2,000, she said. What? She's going to save, right? So she's going to have, what, $2,000, like, tucked away when she's done that she could have spent but didn't. So she has it now. It's disposable income, right?
Yeah.
She saved it.
Uh-huh. Yep.
That's it.
Yeah, she saved it. Something interesting. Of course, the hurricane hit out here on the East Coast, and people were bottled up inside because there was really no reason for them to leave their homes. Of course, they can't resist getting out just to see what's going on at some point, and I was one of them. And at some point, when some power was brought back to not just the homes, but to the businesses, actually the first day that it came back to the businesses, I had taken a drive and noticed that the outlet mall that is near where we live was packed with people. And this is literally the first day that the power got back on.
Mm-hmm.
So what this says is that these people could not wait to go shopping. They had
wow.
to go shop. Literally, their homes do not have power, but they went shopping. There were people pouring out of this outlet. I don't know. For me, that's not actually the first thing that I'm thinking about.
Mm.
I don't know. How about you?
I don't know. I hate shopping. Even, you know, when I have money and things to shop for, it's like, oh, God, I got to go and deal with all these people running around and pushing each other. It does nothing for me except aggravate me. So I guess I'm not a good consumer.
No, you're not. You go back to Greece because it's starting to really aggravate me.
I'm not helping the economy, am
You're
I?
not. You're not. Just leave.